Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hello, beer drinkers. We're here in Construction Junction. Come on out and see us, baby.
Hey, everybody. Sick Puffy isn't here. But you do have the most reverend Father Spoon, and we are here at the Steel City Big Pour, number 6, 2012, at beautiful Construction Junction in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The first session is just now starting. Crowds are starting to roll in. You can see already a few handfuls of beer. Lots of samples going on today. We are located right next to the Bocktown booth. And next to them, we've got Trash, a few other. We've got homebrewers going on around here. Stone is over to my left. Hopefully some of you guys will be stopping by to say hi. Always a good time at Construction Junction. It is a sold-out event. Right now we are in the middle of the 12 to 3 p.m. session, followed by a little two-hour break for the brewers and for everybody to kind of recharge. Get ready for the nighttime session, which will run from 5 until 8. Like I said, this is sold out once again. I believe tickets sold out within the first hour, which is really impressive. Going ticket price was $75. You get a nice gift bag of goodies, I believe a growler, a whole bunch of stuff, key to the city, whatever else they could throw in. You pretty much got it today. One of the nice new features for Steel City Big Pour this year is their app. If you have a mobile device, especially an iPad, which I'm using right now, this is a very sweet app to have. It's more of their mobile site, but it's very cool, whereas you can see all the beers that are here today, the arts that are going on, you get all the event information. So if you want to see the schedule of who's performing when the sessions wrap up, and most importantly, the Big Pour sponsors for 2012. There's Whole Foods is on there, Market District, our good friends over at Bocktown. Harris Grill is over here also. This app is pretty much all-inclusive, anything you're going to need to know about what's going on right now. Of course, besides the beer, the nice thing too is the foods. There's a few locally owned bottle shops going on around here. The desserts, which are always going to be a very popular place. You've got the East End Food Co-op Cafe, Art Space and Coffee House, the meaty goodness, which I need to make sure I get plenty of this stuff. Bocktown brings their hot sausage meatballs, their she crab soup. Burger, BRGR, is here with their gourmet burgers and coleslaw. Fathead Saloon has their smoked brisket sliders. So as you can see, there's a nice mix of on their menu right now. And not to be left out, there is also vegan and vegetarian options. If you head over to Piper's Pub, they have a vegetarian stew and the Rivertown Maxwell's Scottish Ale Gravy. And then the East End Food Co-op Cafe has the pulled porter sandwich with spicy red cabbage slaw. That's a mouthful when you're trying to read it with all these beer drinkers around you. So if you're listening to this, you're either at the Big Pour or you wish you were here. I wish you were here. I wish all of our beer drinking fans could be here right now, and it's going to be a good day. It was a wet one to start out with. The rain was a little heavy this morning, especially coming in. We do have the band tuning up on the main stage right now. So without a doubt, the Steel City Big Pour is probably one of the biggest craft beer events in Western Pennsylvania. I'm saying bar none, this is one of the best ones in the area. It's been around for 6 years. We're now on our sixth edition of the Steel City Big Pour. And also with that, come out the celebrities. Yeah, craft beer is starting to reach that point now where you're starting to get more and more of the local celebrities are coming out. I say this because across from me right now is Rick Sivak. which if you've watched any of the WQED specials, excuse me, on Pittsburgh, within the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years, you will notice that name. You might not, in fact, if you don't notice the name, you'll know his voice. Everyone's grown up with Greg Seaback. He is the local legend. I can't say I grew up with him because I'm from Erie, but I'm sure Sick Puppy did. Unfortunately, Sick Puppy cannot be with us today. He's out biking, mountain biking. There we go. The Appalachians. Or that's what he said. Personally, I think he's probably still passed out from a night of injured state. But, hey, you know what? Stuff happens, and you got to do what you got to do. Steel City Big Pour is probably one of the more interactive beer fests you're going to be at. The reason for this is you will see over at the Bocktown booth, they have what's called the Twitter Fall. It's a wall. It's actually a screen that's broadcasted onto the wall. And what you can do is when you tweet and you use the hashtag SCBP6 for Steel City Big Pour 6 or Pittsburgh Beer, PGH Beer, that tweet will then appear on the wall here at the Steel City Big Pour. So you can become an instant celebrity. After you've had a couple beers, you might want to tell everybody what you think about the event, what your favorite beer is going on. And also, there's groups such as Should I Drink That? That will be having contests on the Twitter fall. So the cool thing with that is going to be that you can win free stuff from us. Oh, and we have people taking pictures. Fantastic. So make sure that next year you absolutely get in line early for your tickets. You're going to have to do it on the internet. It's internet ticket sales only, and you can get that through ShowClicks. Like I said, everything was sold out within the first hour. You had to get in almost immediately. This is a very high-demand event, and there's a reason for that. This is the best craft beer event in Western Pennsylvania. So make sure you get a chance to check it out. So the website you want to go check out is constructionjunction.org/pages/bigpour. Or, as always, you can go to the shouldidrinkthat.com website, where we have links to everyone that we ever talked to somewhere on this site. I don't know. I'm pretty bad at actually coming up with a full list of everything. But there is a link for the Steel City Big Pour on there. All things Pittsburgh beer. Make sure you check out at the top of the page. There is a tab for Pittsburgh beer. It's Pound PGH beer. Anything local that we can find. We've got people dancing. It's been a great day so far. We are only 29 minutes into the Big Pour. And surprisingly, the one thing that we have not heard yet is we have not heard any glasses break, which is, I think, a first. Usually within the first 5 minutes, somebody breaks their glass. So no matter which session you go to, there is going to be a great selection of music for you to listen to, live entertainment going on. They do have a kegerator raffle, which you can get the tickets. Beautifully designed kegerators, which would look fantastic in anybody's home right now. The nice thing with those designs, too, is they're all hand-painted by somebody. Donated their time. We got the donated kegerators. And these aren't like the old-fashioned kegerators that you might be used to. The big, bulky refrigerators that took up so much space. These are probably about waist-high, say, I don't know, maybe about 3 feet. That's a rough guess. Nice little tap handle on top. You could have two or four, depending on which one you buy. And there's also singles, too, if you only have one six-stool or one little keg you want to stick in there at a time. Excellent for home brewers, we're finding out. And I can say that now that I've actually brewed more than one batch of beer. I can see the advantage of having one of these in your house. If you don't have a kegerator now, plan on going out and buying one. Definitely a very cool thing. We were also just visited by WQED and Rick Seaback. Looks like he's doing a story on craft beer and the craft beer scene in Pittsburgh. He was just talking over at the Bocktown booth to the fine beer librarian, Miss Tara. Yeah. The only downside to having a podcast booth at this function right now is that I don't have any beer. And people come up kind of looking disappointed. So next year, we're going to have to look into having Should I Drink That beer on tap while we're standing here at the Steel City Big Pour. The trash is well represented here. You should see the layout that these guys have. Fantastic right now, the amount of beer that these guys have. Unbelievable amounts of beer. It's a cornucopia of beer. All right, we're bringing back a former guest on the show. It's been since 2009, so it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Almost to the date
yeah.
that Dustin's been here. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now here with a new business, a new company.
Yep. Here with Southern Tier Brewing Company.
And what's your job function with them?
They just brought me back at the end of March, early April, to be the head brewer for the new expansion that they're doing.
Okay, and where were you before that?
The last couple of years I've been out in Phoenix, Arizona, brewing for Four Peaks Brewing Company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the largest brewery in Arizona. It's about the same size as Southern Tier, but only distributes in the state of Arizona.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what was it that made you come back? Was it the job opening, or do you want to be back more? Do you have family out this way? Or?
Yeah, I have family out here, but I mean, I was pretty happy in Arizona, but I got a call from Finn from Southern Tier. Just kinda,
oh, really?
Yeah. Just asked if I'd be interested in coming back for it, and it's a pretty good opportunity. We're getting a 110-barrel German Steinecker brew house, so it's the opportunity to commission that was tough to turn down. You know, we'll be one of five breweries in the country that have a system like that.
So what was the phone call like?
Hey man, I know you're enjoying the sunshine and women out there, but
when you picked up the phone call, did you think somebody was messing with you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I actually my buddy Dan Minner from Ellicottville Brewing Company called me the day before and kind of gave me a heads up, and I thought he was kidding. But you know, it's just tough to turn down something like that. So it's good to be back in this area for sure. And obviously, I knew a lot of the guys from the breweries in New York and Pennsylvania and Ohio. So going to the Beer on the Bay Festival up in Erie, everyone's like, "What the hell are you doing back here, man?" So it's good to see some old friends, and then you guys too. You know, so
well, glad that you're back in the area again, yeah. Especially at one of our favorite breweries too.
Oh, thanks.
Gemini Unfiltered is one of my top three favorite beers of all time.
Nice.
And Sick Puppy and I actually usually go back and forth on which one is our favorite beer. Unfortunately, he's the only one that's been up there actually to visit the brewery.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I haven't had the honor of the chance to go up there yet.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Hopefully soon I'll be able to make that venture up into New York State.
Yeah, if you wait until maybe the end of November, the new expansion will be all finished and the Showpiece Brewery will be up and running. Right now it's under construction, so it's a
wow.
Mess. But
so we've got, let's see, you guys are expanding. We've got North Country up in Slippery Rock.
I heard they're in the middle of an expansion, too.
Yeah, they've got their building a production facility.
That's awesome.
Up there, which is fantastic. They're being ran by Jim Hicks, who used to be with Erie Brewing.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, all you guys are expanding, getting new jobs with bigger breweries. It's
yeah,
pretty cool.
It's kind of nuts, you know. I remember, I mean, the North Country, their little brew house, I mean, it's in like a small room, too, or I guess was or still is. But he puts out some awesome beers, too, so it's cool to see them.
They've got fantastic beers up there. So, speaking of fantastic beers, what'd you bring with you today?
We brought down a couple of big beers, actually. We stayed away from anything light and sessionable and just was trying to rock people's worlds, I guess. We brought our Mocha, which is an imperial stout with coffee and chocolate. We have our oak-aged back burner barley wine.
Which has been the most requested beer from anyone coming to our booth today.
Sounds
because they were trying to figure out where you guys were at. Because I don't know, I guess they couldn't see the signs.
It's right next to you.
Because the line was so long, I pointed to one guy. Said, it's back there and kind of wrapping around. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
What do you expect, 40% beer?
Yeah, I mean, that one was a good one for sure, and it got to sit in the barrels for a while, so I was definitely surprised at how dry that finished, you know.
So how did you come up with the idea for that one?
The Backburner Barley Wine's been around for a while, and then just an idea kind of, hey, let's get some bourbon barrels in and see what we can do with them, and transferred it in there and kind of left it on the back burner, so to speak, and just forgot about it for a while and let it do its thing. And it got nice and bourbony and oaky and delicious. And
so how long did that have to sit?
It's about 3 months, I want to say.
It's about all right.
So
do you guys have any plans to do any future test with barrel aging with any of your other beers? Or?
Yeah, we're in the middle of doing a small one right now. We have a video out on the Facebook, I think, that came out. It's a collaboration with ourselves called Schizophrenia. And right now it's an imperial stout. We got some bourbon barrels in there, and we got some local blackberries and stuff like that, and just kind of let it funkify and see what comes out on the other end.
Now, are you guys going to start pushing towards more high gravity beers, or are you still going to come out with the same, you know, some good session beers?
We're going to try and get caught up, so to speak, with our main beers. Unfortunately, we've had to drop off some of our beers in our portfolio just to keep up with some stuff, but you know, the idea with this new brew house is that we'll be able to catch back up, and then we'll save one of our small brew houses, a 30 barrel, and we'll be able to put out some really cool one-off.
Oh, wow.
That's our ultimate plan. You know, we're saving that one brew house, we're not getting rid of it, and hopefully we'll get some cool barrel aged stuff going and maybe get a little funky with it. So
now, what will this do for distribution for you guys? Are you going to be able to expand more, or are you going to make sure that the markets that you have right now are taken care of and then move forward, or are you just going to try to to as many places as you can?
Pretty much right now. I mean, we're up and down the East Coast solid, and, you know, we're out in Washington. We're in six or seven countries. But we're going to try to make sure that those accounts in those states are all happy and taken care of. And there's a few that we probably want to get into. We'll maybe try to get into Texas and maybe California if we can handle it. But first and foremost is the states that we have, so, and the countries that we have. So.
Now, once you were settled with Southern Tier, did you send any of your beer back to your old employees?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Say, hey, guys, this is what I'm making now?
Yeah. It's funny. I got a few picture messages and stuff like that. A couple of them had gone out to Chicago and picked up some of it. And they're like, hey, we're drinking your beer out in Arizona. You know, it's still, it's crazy. I mean, it's a small community, you know, brewer community. And it doesn't matter if it's countrywide or not. I mean, it's still a nice, close group of friends. So,
I guess even with the boom that's going on right now, it's, well, people might hear how large the numbers are. I guess it really is still a small community, like you had said, or a small type family. You know, you've got over 2,100 breweries that are popping up,
yeah,
or that are there, or that will be here within the next year or so. And it's just, what do you think that's going to do for your business? Do you think it will hurt it? Do you think it will help it?
I think absolutely. It's going to do nothing but help. I mean, because still craft breweries are, you know, 3% of the total market, so we're pretty small. So, I mean, the more, the better. And I think, like what happened in the mid-90s when everyone kind of boomed on the craft beer scene and everyone wanted to open their own brew pub, a lot of people were putting out bad beer. Well, this next resurgence, you know, since like 2000 and on, I don't think you're going to see it die off, because the people that are making the beers now are some pretty phenomenal, solid beers, and the consumers are pretty wise to it, and they're smart, and they know what they like. So I think it's just going to help it grow, you know?
That's always been our concern, is if you're wondering if craft beer was starting to get too big for itself.
Yeah.
Because you see, just everyone seems like there's a new brewery is opening up every other, you know, month or so. And especially in the Pittsburgh area, we hear of like three or four are still in the planning.
Right.
And guys are, you know, they're going to Kickstarter, which is a great way to build money.
But yeah,
you also have to have that knowledge of business,
right,
on how to run a business. It's great if you can brew the beer, but if you don't know how to run your business, You're kind of SOL.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at, I mean, what happened to Penn Brewery, and they shut down and they came back in, and they got a couple of investors that know the business side of things, and they let the former staff there, they know how to run the beer side, and they're up and running, and
that's
they're rolling.
That's a perfect example. Yeah. I can't believe I didn't even think of Penn.
But I mean, you need to have somebody that knows the business side, and you need to have someone that knows the operation side of it, too, and it's rare. I think sometimes people jump in without realizing.
I can sell beer. I can make it. It can't be that hard, not realizing all the regulations you got to follow. And,
oh, yeah. I mean,
and the zoning for your building. And
absolutely.
And all that. One of the upcoming ones, too, is Shoe Brewing out in Zelianople.
Yeah.
Which they went through Kickstarter to get their money, but they also had other capital coming in. And the kid was a home brewer, and he makes fantastic beer, but he also has a lot of business sense, too.
Oh, really?
Which is great. So we think that's going to be one of the ones that's going to take off. And then we get messages weekly from people saying, hey, I'm going to start a brewery.
Oh, I'm sure.
Who do I talk to?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Are you ready to not make a lot of money for several years? And
don't quit your day job.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun lifestyle for sure that we're all in, but, I mean, you're not going to get super rich doing it.
Yeah, you don't see guys out there driving, like, the nice new Mustangs or anything like
no,
that outside.
No.
Even us podcasters have beat-up cars. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
everyone still has other jobs and other stuff that they do. But.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I appreciate it. Your website, really quick for everybody.
Oh, it's southerntierbrewing.com.
There you go.
You can follow us on Twitter at STBCBeer.
Well, that's a mouthful.
It really is.
That's a tongue twister.
That's what she said. I mean, wait, sorry.
Well, cool, Dustin. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Joining us for her inaugural Steel City Big Four, it's Becky from Erie Brewing. Hello.
Hello.
How are things going up in Erie?
Very good. Oh, I take it you want more detail?
If you want to. If you want to elaborate, go right ahead.
Things are going very well. We actually kind of remodeled our tasting room, gave it a fresh new paint job, and we're working on a new beer for fall. And it's going to be a pumpkin beer.
Really?
Yeah, we're really excited.
Is it going to be, is it a pumpkin spice? Is it local pumpkins? Or? Are you allowed to tell us?
I mean, I don't know the exact recipe, but I know we use real pumpkin. Okay. And then obviously some spices, so, you know, both.
Are you staying local, or is it, they didn't tell you? If
they didn't tell me.
Ah, okay. So how did everything go with Beer on the Bay this year?
It was so awesome. It really was. I think, I don't have the exact number for attendance, but I'm pretty sure it's the highest attended one that we've had.
Oh, wow.
And it was our fifth year. We went back to our original tent setup, which was nice.
So it was the horseshoe.
Yes.
Going around. Nice.
And then we did have a couple of vendors like scattered further down.
Okay.
But it was back to the like wide open space feel.
Now, one thing I like that your beer fest is doing that very few have done this so far. We're used to it here with the big pour, but you're getting the homebrewers involved now.
Yes.
And what's that like working with the homebrewers? Because we know they are like everyday people. They're not necessarily in the beer community as you know as you guys are with Erie or with any of these other breweries. What's it like working with, I don't want to say novices, but like they might be new to the whole beer fest scene.
Usually when I work beer on the Bay, I'm always up front. Like, so okay. I don't really get to work closely with the homebrewers, but I think it's good that they get to go and, you know, let people try their beer and then they can see, you know, what their future will be if they decide to, you know, take it to the next level from a hobby to a possible business that you're going to be out doing that stuff at first.
So it's good for them to get the, I guess it's the exposure it's, is good
I
for them.
I think it's, the exposure is good for them and the experience as well.
Okay. It's a, well, I could definitely see that with the, they're no longer just serving their friends and family. It's more of
right.
The whole community is out there. So if you know, you're not just getting your friends and family that are patronizing and saying, oh yeah, of course it's the greatest beer I've ever had. Delicious. You're actually getting some serious feedback, which is also great from the brewery standpoint too, because you're expanding out to the area saying, you know, the craft beer is for everyone.
Yeah.
Come join the, you know, this, I don't want to say the revolution, because that's used so many times. But, you know, come join our culture, you know, become part of the family.
It's definitely what I've noticed is a culture in its own, craft beer and home brewing. And it's definitely a culture. It's one I love.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be working in it.
No, I wouldn't.
And it's treated you well so far.
It has.
So is there anything else going on up in Erie? Maybe not just necessarily with the brewery, but in Erie in general with the beer scene up there?
I personally think that right in our own backyard, people are definitely demanding better beers. I've noticed from when I started working at Erie 5 years ago, I mean, there's really only a couple places that you could go to get some good beers, and really everyone now wants something good on tap usually.
So and the demand is there now in Erie?
I think the demand is there, and the bars are responding to it, as well as the distributors.
One thing I always remembered, even growing up in Erie, was that it was very much a, you know, shot in a beer kind of town.
I don't think it's, I mean, I'm sure there's always going to be those bars. Right. Everyone has their little shot in beer bars sometimes they want to go to, but
it's developed more now where you could get, if you drink good beer, you have more options if you're going to go out to a local restaurant or anything like that.
You do. And I've noticed that even some of the chains are starting to
oh, really?
To recognize that, you know, we should probably carry a couple different beers and even local. So we've even gotten into some country clubs this year, which is like new
really?
For us. Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Well, usually with country clubs, they stick with the Bud Coors Miller and maybe like a Stella. And
which is a little ironic considering the clientele. You know, they have good taste and the disposable income. You would think that.
Yeah, it's one of those visions or I guess one of those images of craft beer that all of us are trying to change where, you know, it's craft or beer in general for the longest time was considered, you know, I don't want to put down frat boys, but, you know, it's very lower, I don't want to say low, it's I guess more lower class, you know.
Yeah.
it's the drink of the common folk, whereas mm-hmm. now with craft beer you're getting people of all ages, all races, all, you know,
it's very diverse,
all incomes. Yes,
yeah,
you know, that want to get into us, you know, anybody can make it, which is great. Not everybody can make it good.
Nope.
Or well, but everybody can make beer. I think one of the big things too with Erie Brewing, which is nice, is you know, it's, you guys have been very open to the helping other people within Erie if they wanted to learn about it. I've seen posts on the Facebook wall and from the homebrew clubs that your guys don't just stick with Erie Brewing. Like if they have a question, they're going to come in, you know, they'll answer it for you in homebrewing forums or whatever. They're pretty open, they're pretty receptive.
Yeah.
I mean, which is very nice. You don't usually see that with the big beers.
I just think we want people to feel, you know, we're all friends. We're all, you know, you're welcome. We want questions, and, you know, if we can help you, we will. Mm-hmm. And if we can't help you, I definitely will try and help you find the answer. I will try and direct you.
I will say, too, that since you had mentioned, I kind of brain farted on this for a second, but since you mentioned this, we do have an interview with Becky from, I think she was 2 months into her with Erie Brewing. We had just started Should I Drink That? It was, I think we were in our first year. So we have pictures of Becky with this long flowing hair, and I tried to throw her some really softball questions, and I realized she just started here.
Yeah, I think that was at the Erie Micro Brew Fest, and
it was. And look how you've grown through craft beer since then.
And I was there, let me see, that would have been in April, and I had started in August. So I'd really only been working in the industry for about like 4 or 5 months, like half a year, let's just say. And
now you're a regular.
I am a regular.
Everybody knows you now.
Everybody knows me? I don't know about that.
I think that most people around here know who you are.
Ah, well, cool. I don't want to be the face or anything, but.
Walk around with your own cheer squad or theme music or something like that.
That's like kind of what's in my head sometimes, surprisingly.
Oh, one other thing that we could bring up too, which it's up to you if you want to talk about this. You still make the doggy treats?
I do.
The most adorable little doggy in the world.
Yes, I have a little dog, and he's a Chihuahua. And a lot of people, you know, kind of giggle a little bit when I tell them that. But he is, seriously, if I'm actually at the brewery, I've been traveling a lot. If I'm physically at the brewery and I don't have to do something directly after work, he goes to work with me. So if you ever stop by, you can meet Buddy. And even my new boss, like, he calls him our little mascot, so.
Well, I saw him in the one photo. I don't know if it was the group photo for Erie Brewing that's on the website or not. There's a trace of Buddy on the site somewhere.
We just recently took an employee photograph, and Buddy's in that. And we're redoing our website. The website that we have up now, we're revamping completely.
Okay.
So whenever that relaunches, the company photo will go up, and then the links to our proper Facebook account, because we had to switch over to the one that you have to like, because we had
an actual
friends.
Page instead of the personal profile.
Yeah.
You can max out at 5,000 or
basically. So I'm pretty sure the link on our website right now directs you towards like the old Facebook page.
So for those of our fans out there that are not familiar with Erie Brewing, where can they find you on the internet? Speaking of Facebook and everything else, and as you take a big gulp of your drink, because I picked the perfect timing to do this. That actually kind of looks like a cough syrup.
It kind of is. It needs to be colder. It kind of tastes a little.
It's like a safety lid.
It's, I don't know. I guess it's low calorie water, but it's carbonated and colored. So I don't consider that water. But anyway.
Yes, on the internet. Where can we find you?
On the internet. Our website is eriebrewingco.com, and it's C-O.
Okay. If you do want to follow Erie Brewing on Twitter, it's eriebrewingco.com. Oh, I also wanted to say .com, at Erie Brewing Co. So it's the same thing just as their the website, eriebrewingco.com, without the .com on it. And we'll have links to Erie Brewing on our shouldidrinkthat.com website, along with links to their social media accounts. Well, Becky, thank you very much for stopping out. I hope you enjoy your inaugural Steel City Big Four.
It's awesome in here. I think my favorite part is all the food stations.
There's a lot of food here.
And right next to me is Harris Grill, and then Fatheads, and Harris Grill had bacon,
and
macaroni and cheese, and there was like the longest line ever there, and then I think they ran out of the bacon and the macaroni and cheese like so fast. So.
Harris Grill is known for their bacon nights, and they actually have a bacon fest where they have all you can eat bacon and a bacon off, and
what's a bacon off?
How much bacon can you eat compared to the next person? Kind of like a hot dog eating contest. It can get kind of gross.
These
guys. They did a video of it 1 year, and it was interesting watching them. But
is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube, so you can check it out there. One of the big supporters, too, is a guy named Mr. Bacon Pants.
Oh.
At MrBaconPants.com, friend of the show. Check it out. Well, yeah, Harris Grill has some very good food. Fatheads, they're pretty much known all over the place. Everyone knows Fatheads.
Yeah.
Especially if, did they bring their Thunderhead? Their IPA? I think almost everything that they make over there has won an award. Well, Becky, thank you very much for coming over.
Thank you.
Check them out, eriebrewingco.com, and check them out. Getting ready for session two, we've got Jason Lavery from Lavery Brewing. I pronounced it right this time, right?
Exactly.
Sick Puppy and I go back and forth on this all the time. I think it's because he just can't read your website, which very easily states how to pronounce the brewery name. Welcome.
Thank you.
Is this your first time at Steel City Big Four?
It is, exactly, yeah.
First time as a brewer or first time overall?
First time overall.
What do you think of it?
I think it's amazing. It's a wonderful festival. It's organized really well, and the food stations really help out a lot, and amazing brewers and amazing staff. You know, we're having a blast.
I think the food stations are saving a lot of us right now.
Oh, seriously. That was the first station I actually hit.
Well, you guys are in a pretty nice location over there.
I think so. We're right next to Mad Max, so.
You can't go wrong with Mad Max.
Yeah, Soleil soup.
Which, if you're unfamiliar with the Pittsburgh area, Mad Max is our, I guess it's not Tex-Mex, it's more American, Americanized Mexican, but it's delicious food.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do you guys have going on at the brewery?
We have a 10-barrel brew house. We just bought two new 10-barrel tanks, so we're expanding our production as well as our distribution. So we're expanding to New Jersey and Delaware October 1st. And then possibly expanding to New York City in November. So,
now, have you guys done Beer Fest out that way that people already know about your beers? Or?
We've done a lot of Philadelphia Beer Fest, but we've never done anything in New Jersey or Delaware or anything like that. So, you know, we didn't really want to expand outside of Pennsylvania. At first, that was kind of like our business philosophy, our brewery philosophy. And then we tried to expand to Cleveland and Buffalo. And a lot of the wholesalers out that way weren't too interested. But then we had wholesalers in Philadelphia or... Sorry, New Jersey and Delaware, New York City, Los Angeles,
really?
Busting our doors down. So we kind of had a meeting and said, you know, if these dudes want our beer, why not expand to where they want our beer versus where, you know, we have to bust their doors down. So New Jersey, that guy was really, really awesome. And the wholesalership, it's called Regal Wine. And they do Southern Tier. They do a lot of really good craft beer out there. So it seemed like a natural kind of expansion for us. So we're doing that October 1st.
So have you done... Do you think they found out about you because they got a hold of your beer at a festival locally, or they got bottles of it, or how do you think that? Because you know, Jersey doesn't necessarily come to Western Pennsylvania much.
Yeah.
For things.
Well, it's not Western Pennsylvania, I guess. Connection. The connection is Philadelphia. You know, they go to Philadelphia a lot, and Philadelphia is a huge percentage of our market. You know, as much as we want Erie and Pittsburgh to be the majority of our market, they're just unfortunately not. So, more majority of our beer sells in Philadelphia. But we're still trying to grow the Pittsburgh brand as much as we can, you know. It's still our number two market that we release. Every single beer that we make, we release to Erie first, and then Pittsburgh second, and then all the other markets after that.
So we're still kind of your home area.
I want it to be a home away from home, like from day one. Unfortunately, Pittsburgh's been like a hard nut for us to crack, so it's been a little slower growth than we'd like.
Do you think it's because of the styles that you make? Because most people in Pittsburgh, when they're getting into craft beers too, they think you can only have an IPA. You can only have that's your Oktoberfest. You have to go with whatever the popular style is.
Yeah, definitely. We're really the oddball out kind of guy for that way, because we don't follow like the rules as far as what people say you should make and, you know, ABVs that you should stick to and stuff like that. So I think Pittsburgh's just, you know, it's an awesome town, but it's a rough town to break into. But once they finally discover your beer and then they enjoy your beer, they'll stick with you forever, you know? So I think we're really getting to that point, you know, like Andrew from Piper's and Mike from Murphy's and the dudes from Smokin' Joe's and Casey's.
Those guys love you.
Yeah, I mean, so we're having a blast. So I feel like really in the last like 3 months, we're actually like getting to that point where I'm like, all right, great, you know, this is our place. So that we've tried for the past 3 months, you know.
Now, have you thought about doing a style that is more popular? Like, you just want to do, like, that amber ale, or you just want to do, like, a session ale just to bring it into the market? Are you just going to say, you know what, the hell with it? I'm going to brew what I want to make.
Yeah.
And honestly, that attitude usually is what sets people apart from other breweries, is because you're making the stuff that you love. So you know you're going to get a really great quality product out of it, not something that everybody else already has.
Yeah. Well, Fathead's Headhunter IPA is one of my favorite beers, and I would love to make that beer every single day.
That is a fantastic beer.
You know, and I bring growlers to beer fests like this so I can take that beer home. The unfortunate side is that a newer brewery can't get those types of hops to make those kind of crazy upfront IPAs. So a lot of the beers that we make are kind of a result of the choices that we have to make as far as ingredients, stuff like that. We were lucky enough, Sam Adams had about 10,000 pounds of hops that they had excess capacity, so they offered them to the craft beer community. So we got 88 pounds of Simcoe and 88 pounds of Citra. So we're making an IPA called Dulacon, which is about 6%, and it's all Simcoe, all Citra, 6%, about 80 IBUs, so I guess you could call it a session IPA. But,
okay.
But Dulacon is like a leprechaun, but instead of being a leprechaun, which is like a keeper of wealth in Irish folklore, Dulacon is a death giver in Irish folklore. So his name literally means death giver. So that's what Dulacon means. So we're making three batches of it. The 200 pounds, the 176 pounds we got of it are going to be released to Erie, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. And that'll be coming up in like early November.
I have to ask, what's the artwork like?
Oh, it's just draft only, so there's no artwork.
Oh,
not yet.
Oh,
but
my God.
The thing is, we can't make it ever again. You know, we got enough hops from the Sam Adams sellout. You know, Sam Adams.
Distribution of hops, yeah.
Excess capacity, and they decided to be really great, you know, awesome, you know, craft brew community people, you know, so they sold it to other craft brew people that couldn't get those kind of hops. So we're never going to be able to brew this beer again, so we have enough hops for five batches. We're going to do three batches right now, and then we're going to hold enough hops for two batches left in case, you know, people want more. But
okay,
so there's no bottle. It's all draft.
So since it is draft only, are you going to have it only at the brewery, or do you have it other places?
No, we're gonna you know, brew three batches of it, which are a batch for us is 10 barrels, which is about 18 kegs. With a dry hop beer like that, though, it's really about 16 kegs. So okay. 16 kegs will go to Erie, 16 kegs go to Pittsburgh, 16 kegs will go to Philly, and then call it done, you know.
So what you're saying is, once you find out that it's gonna be on tap somewhere, go get it, because you're not gonna get it again.
I would hope so, yeah. I know we did a 5-gallon batch because we never knew how Simcoe and Citro would work together in a beer. So we did a 5-gallon batch at the brewery, and they worked together really, really well.
Well, this brings up an interesting fact too, or an interesting point. So when you guys do test batches, so you're basically going back to like home brewing roots, making your 5-gallon batches just like everybody does at home,
yeah,
to see how things are going to work.
Except it's badass because we have floors, drains on the floor, so we can make as big a mess as we want. But yeah, it's pretty much exactly
it. Whereas if I make that mess at home, my wife would kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we do. We have 5-gallon, well, we have 10-gallon kettles to make 5-gallon batches, you know. And we'll just pull water off the hot liquor tank, you know, it's already 180 degrees, and
right,
you know, mash in, mash out.
So what do you have planned for the fall? Because I hear rumors of a very delicious pumpkin beer that people are looking forward to, and I can't wait to see inside my local Giant Eagle.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the only place I can get it at with that doesn't sell out.
Yeah.
What is your pumpkin beer?
Yeah, we did a beer. We do a beer. This is the third year now, called Stingy Jack, which is the Irish legend of the jack-o'-lantern. It's called, he was Stingy Jack in the whole story. So it's a 7.5% pumpkin beer. A lot of Munich malts, a lot of toasted, like, Victory-type malts, Maris Otter from England, and then a couple kinds of crystals, and then with a real light hop profile, and then cinnamon, allspice, nutmeg, ginger, and cloves.
Okay.
But the spices are really on the low end, so it's a very much a drinkable kind of pumpkin ale compared to one of the really sweet ones. We've always tried to make it a beer, first of all, and then a spiced beer, second of all. So it's... Definitely, it's one of those kind of pumpkin beers you can actually drink two beers of instead of just one.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it just went to Pittsburgh. It shipped earlier this week, so now it's actually in the Pittsburgh market this week now.
So I have a chance to buy it before people will listen to the show.
Yeah,
perfect.
Exactly.
I can get my fix in. Now, when you're brewing these beers, do you guys try to focus on local ingredients? Like, how much do you depend on the Erie area? Because it's... Growing up there, I know that it was, you know, it's pretty heavy with grapes, and it's, well, everyone knows, like, the whole wine scene through there, but how much of the local ingredients do you guys bring into it?
My dad has 100 hop plants in Girard, which is a little bit south of Erie, so we use a lot of those hops as much as we can. Unfortunately, this year he got about 3 pounds
of
wet
hop
hops.
Wait.
Yeah. He has Centennial, Cascade, Willamette, and East Kent Goldings.
That is a badass dad.
Yeah. And he doesn't drink, actually. But unfortunately, this year, he did not get any sort of harvest whatsoever. So
it's been a rough year.
Yeah, with the dry weather and all that kind of things. So you kind of play it as a brewer, you know, you're one step away from a farmer, so you have to kind of play it the way it is, you know. So this year we pretty much have no wet hop, local hop ingredient beers. We don't use any grapes in our beers per se, not that we haven't talked about it. We have used local honey beers in some of the beers we've done just for our tap room. Our tap room always has like a keg on tap number 4 that is, you know, some sort of offshoot of a beer that we do. So okay. You know, we have gotten locally honey grown honey beers, honey, and then put that into beers that we've used, you know, in our tap room. But commercial wide, available to Pittsburgh, not yet. So
okay. Last question really quick, because I know we're getting ready to start session 2 here. And once you mentioned honey, I have to ask this now. What do you think of the White House?
I think
honey
it's awesome. I'm a hardcore Democrat, so, you know, Mitt Romney is a Mormon, and he does not drink alcohol whatsoever, you know, and Barack Obama is an amazing president, and he brews his own beer, so I think the choice is obvious.
Well, what do you think of the actual recipe, though, and the fact that the White House is brewing beer? I mean, does that say something for the craft beer scene, the fact that we have a sitting president who's making craft beer? Now, it's far away from whatever anyone's politics are, because we've got Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, everything that listen to our show. As a craft beer guy,
yeah.
The president's making beer. What, you know, what does that do for the industry?
And he's had the beer summit where he had the dude from Chicago or Boston or whoever it was. You know, the cop arrested him and he brought him in. He had the beer summit. That was the first thing.
But he had like he had Blue Moon and like in Bud or something like that.
It's something like that. They were from their supposedly from their hometowns or whatever. No, but I mean, generally, in general, I guess, you know. Having a president that appreciates the art and skill that is brewing and craft beer drinkers is amazing. So
now, have you watched the video of them making the beers yet?
I'm not, no. I heard they used extract.
It's they go to if you go to Northern Brewer, you can buy the kit right now.
I heard that. Yeah.
I don't think it's the actual White House honey, so you can't make the exact same thing. It's,
which is from their like apiaries.
Yeah, so they literally go out in their backyard, they pull in the honey, and they're good to go. But there's been a lot of talk about how the beer was actually made. Is the chefs came out and said, we don't know how to brew beer, but we're chefs, so we can, you know, they can read recipes, which is great. Which honestly, when you get started with brewing, if you can read how to follow the instructions, you're going to be able to make the beer.
Not definitely.
But it's one, you know, one thing that they show too is when you're steeping the grains, the one guy was like going to town and just, you know, pounding into the water, and homebrewers across the world were going, no,
tannin extraction.
Why are you doing that? But the nice thing though with all that is, it wasn't just the one beer. He made 2 beers, so he's got the honey ale and he's got the honey porter. Now the question is he going to make any more beer?
I hope so. I heard the newest White House building that they added was actually a brewery.
Which would be perfect. Most people know that the, you know, our founding fathers were all homebrewers. A lot of guys that signed that Declaration of Independence were all brewers, because water was so bad. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah, better than drinking diarrhea water.
Oh, that's yeah. Who knows what they had going on back then?
No, I literally heard that the newest building they've added to the White House was like a brewery outpost. I don't know what they call it, I don't know if it was an extension of the kitchen or something like that. But it was the newest building that they actually added.
Wow. See. There's history in beer, people.
Yeah.
But Jason, thank you very much for coming out and talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to let you get back to your booth here, because they're about to let the herd in for the second session.
You mean my concussion?
Yeah, you got to watch out for that. watch how much beer you have here for the second session. We're going to get ready here for the second session to take off. We'll see if there's anybody else if they can jump in quick. There's a few guys from the Steel City Big Pour that were wandering around, but also we've got a massive herd out there. So stay tuned. We'll see what happens. So does your name tag actually say main instigator again?
No, I am no longer. I'm the former main instigator.
Former main instigator.
Yes. I have passed the torch.
That sounds like a familiar voice. That's David.
Yes.
The former main instigator. So what is your role now with the Big Pour?
My role now is just to do the food. Just to do the food partners, organize the food partners, and, you know, talk to them and make sure they're all happy, and also make sure they bring really cool food offerings.
Which, from what I've heard, they have.
Yes, I'm very pleased. Very pleased.
So how many vendors do you have this year?
So this year, including the Post-Gazette, who's doing beer milkshakes, we have 25 food partners.
Now, how did the Post-Gazette, it's, for those of you unfamiliar with Pittsburgh, that is one of our local newspapers, how did the Post-Gazette decide to do beer milkshakes?
Well, you know, the Post-Gazette is our media sponsor for the past 2 years, so they're, you know, a huge partner. But Bob Batts, the who runs the food section, I mean, he's always been interested in craft beer and everything. But he just asked, hey, could we do some food? And last year they did an apple dessert. And this year, I don't know, they came up with an idea of doing beer milkshakes, and I did not argue with them.
Now, do you know where the beers came from that they're using?
They're just kind of walking around. I know they're doing some stout from Scott Smith, East End Brewing, and I think they're just kind of, you know.
I heard they had some Shoe Brew, which is one of the newer breweries that's going to be opening up.
You're right. They did. I had forgotten about that one, but you're right. So they're pretty well connected, you know, with all the brewers around. So they're able to find their way around pretty well.
So how's the turnout for this year?
Well, it's the same. It's the same because, you know, we're fanatical about not overselling this event.
Okay.
And we kind of increased it a little bit each year. And last year, year five, we found 1,500 tickets per session was a really good, comfortable number.
Okay.
And we actually were able to expand the space a little this year, but we sold the same number so that everybody would have a really comfortable experience. And then the food partners and brewers love it because instead of just, you know, slam, bam, thank you, man, they're able to talk to people and connect
right.
so that they can get returning customers and patrons to their business. So,
well, I will say that one of the big differences that I have noticed, like you said, is the space. It is more wide open now, so not everyone's crammed together.
Yeah.
It's very easy to flow through from booth to booth, and there is enough time, too, where you could talk to each of the the homebrewers over here and also the brewers too. And you get like, you might not get 5-10 minutes, but you get like a good,
you're not getting into a deep philosophical discussion, but
it's not like deep thoughts with Jack Handy, but it's but you're able to sit down there and talk to them, which is nice because a lot of beer fests, they're so overcrowded that you're elbow to elbow and you can't talk to these guys. It's like they give you it's like a machine. You get the beer, you go stand over there, you get the beer, stand over there. And these guys are more than willing to talk to you too, which is fantastic. Yeah.
No, I'm really proud of that part of the Big Pour. We did not oversell this event. And obviously it's tempting. After we sell out our tickets in 15 minutes, all of us that are on the committee and the board get dozens of requests. Hey, can you get me tickets? And it's like, no. I mean, we're sold out. That's it. Because we want everybody to have fun at the event.
Now you know what the Steelers and Pens feel like.
Probably, yes.
Every time playoff season comes around, they're trying to find some way to get them tickets.
That's right. No, we like, unlike the Steelers, we don't have like a waiting list that you pass down to your descendants, but maybe someday it'll get there. But no, I just did the food this year. The CJ, and I know I want to compliment the staff at CJ. I mean, they do everything now. Mm-hmm. Chris Mehta organizes the breweries. I organize the food partners. We still have our committee that organizes art and other aspects of the event. But the CJ staff, they own this thing now, and they organize
it. Fantastic job. And this, hands down, this is the best beer fest in the area.
Well, thank you.
It's been like that. It's 6 years running. This is the reason why we keep coming back. It's because this is the best beer fest. You have to be here.
Yeah. I mean, look at those kegerators over there. That's insane. Like,
those are beautiful kegerators.
Those are just insane. Like, who else has handmade by artists kegerators at their beer festival that you can buy a raffle ticket for?
One thing we were joking about when the ticket sales were going on is how fast the tickets would appear on eBay.
Yeah.
And it was almost instant. As soon as people had tickets, they were ready to say, okay, who else wants to go to this festival? I got 4 tickets.
Yeah.
I was going to buy for myself, but who else wants to go with me now?
Yeah.
This is a great communal event, too. It's, you've got food, you've got art, you've got beer. Obviously, you've got beer here. Very delicious beer.
We have beer. We haven't had any complaints about not enough beer. Well, and, you know, we've always wanted to be a coming out party for the craft beer industry in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. The bars like Fatheads and Pipers and Sharp Edge that, you know, support craft brew, that got it all started in Pittsburgh. And they're here, and they're serving food, and they're pouring beer. And then, you know, the brewers themselves and the chefs that cook the food. I mean, you know, we love the fact that it's kind of a coming out party for craft beer in Pittsburgh.
And you guys have done a fantastic job with it. You know, there are other beer fests that have gone on, but it seems like this is the best one to bring all the communities together. You know, you're not just beer. You are food and you're art and you're everything else.
And, you know, that's actually a lot of work because everybody has an opinion. And, like, after the event, we get a lot of opinions, a lot of them positive, but we get a lot of, you know, comments and criticisms, and we try to take those to heart and take all those comments and react on them. Like, you know, last year it was really hot in here, so we put fans in and we tried to make the ventilation better, keeping in mind that we are, you know, Construction Junction, and we're a warehouse.
I will say it is a lot cooler in here.
A lot cooler, yeah.
It is very comfortable in here right now.
Yeah, and we really did work on that, and you know, that's why we each year we hold ourselves to a very high standard. We try to make the event every year. We're like, hey, we want to make this the best ever. We don't want to sit on our laurels. And, you know, it's easy to get complacent when you have an event like this that sells out in 15 minutes. But we're determined not to be complacent.
But it does make you giddy inside.
It does.
Yeah.
I do.
Deep down you go, I just sold out in 15 minutes. That's pretty cool.
A lot of people have asked me, you know, how do you feel? Are you proud? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely I'm proud. I'm smiling because everybody else is smiling. And, you know, other than the little rainstorm we had, things have been pretty smooth.
Which, ironically, I was walking in as that rainstorm hit.
Really?
And then once I got in here, it stopped.
You look pretty dry now.
I am now. Yeah, I had an extra shirt in my bag, so I'm good to go.
You came prepared. You've been to a few beer festivals.
I've been to quite a few to know that I always pack extra clothes and make sure you have an umbrella. Really quick, as the crowd's coming in here for session two, and we're about to get hoarded with a bunch of people, and it's going to get very loud.
Yes. The band hasn't started yet. So,
where does the money go that's raised by this event? Does it go straight to Construction Junction, or what happens?
You know, it's a great question, and it does. So Construction Junction, we're a non-for-profit. Our mission is to promote conservation through the reuse of building materials. And it goes to a combination of, you know, small capital projects that we have, new computers and things like that, but also just to, you know, we are a nonprofit. We have some great months sales-wise, and we have some, you know, some bad months. It's in the middle of January, you know, we don't get as much customers as we do, you know,
other times. Are afraid of snow. Yeah.
That's right. So, I mean, it literally helps sustain this organization, which serves a great role in Pittsburgh. I mean, instead of all this stuff going into landfills, it's getting redistributed throughout the community. So we're passionate about our mission, and the Big Pour, you know, literally helps and sustains the organization.
I will say one great, reuse of materials that are here. The guys down at Voodoo,
yeah,
their sign, the signs that they use for all their beers and everything is written on old doors.
Yeah,
and I've noticed that Bocktown does it a lot also. I think that's a fantastic use in, you know, recycling old doors, because if people have a bunch of old building materials or whatever, can they just drop it off here, or what's
exactly? So basically, it works like a Goodwill, where if you drop off and donate building materials, you get a tax. You can deduct the value of the materials. Some people drop things off, but also for bigger projects, you can call Construction Junction, and we'll make arrangements to come out and pick it up. Typically, that's for like a kitchen renovation or bathroom renovation.
Right.
So we have a truck that's out on the road every day of the week picking up materials and deconstruction. So that's where we go in and work with bigger contractors. When a building's getting demolished, they'll let us come in first and take out the usable materials. And that's been a huge source of materials, where you can get large quantities of bricks or shingles or woodwork. And that way we're able to, you know, have literally like pallets full of materials to sell.
Sounds great. David, thank you very
much. Thank you much, and I want to thank you guys. I do this every year, but you know, we appreciate your support.
Hey, thanks for having us out. We love this place.
Okay.
This is one of the first beer fests we ever did, and you know, it's six years now we're still here.
It's still here.
This is fantastic. We will have links to Construction Junction and the Steel City Big Pour on the shouldidrinkthem.com website. David, thank you for sitting down. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
And I think it's about to get crazy in here. So.
All right. Have fun. Enjoy the rest of the session.
If I had, look at this. Look at Joy. As soon as I start talking, you show up.
I just want to say I love you. That's all, man. I love you guys. Thank you.
We love you too, and we love Founders.
We ran out of beer like 6:50. It's been a wonderful pour. Thank you all. Stay thirsty. See you soon, guys.
There you go. The voice of Founders himself, John. Thank you, sir. Getting ready to wrap up here. It is now a few minutes after 8:00. And we do want to thank everyone for stopping out at the Steel City Big Pour 2012. Fantastic event. I know it's cliche to say it's been the best one ever, but speaking on personal experience from the last five before this, this really was the best one ever. being next to Bucktown totally made my day. And their Twitter wall, which you'll have to check out sometime. Very cool. Thank you to Construction Junction and everyone involved with Steel City Big Pour for having us out here. Fantastic time. It's been a good solid 9 hours. Chris, would you like to say something from Bucktown?
Hello, people!
Spoken like a true thespian.
Hello, tweeters!
Yes, thank you for everyone for tweeting. How did the Twitter wall work out?
Oh, I had some trouble feeling.
I saw some quality tweets showing up.
Oh, there were some great tweets. Nobody knew how to pee or things like that. It was a very tough day on the Twitter wall.
Well, when you're drinking, you can have a lot of problems. I'm still trying to figure out these T-shirts that these guys have where they spray-painted letters.
I think it was a rave.
How did we miss a rave?
It was a beer rave. It was a craft beer rave.
But what's nice, though, is security and the rest of the people working here are doing a very good job of getting everybody out. As compared to last few years, we're like, okay, everyone just leave.
I think now they're shooting them with paint and turning it into a rave. It's a rave exodus.
Would not be uncommon for this area of town, especially as Drew from Pipers knows, there's a lot of raves going on around here.
I'm not quite sure, but I do know there's a exodus. We're watching the exodus. Even Rick Seebeck is in the exodus.
Even kicking out Rick Seebeck, Mr. Pittsburgh himself. Can you believe that? But thank you, everyone, for coming out to Steel City Big Pour 2012. This is the Most Reverend Father Spoon for ShouldIDrinkThat.com, where even if it's crap, we drink it so you don't have to. Say goodnight, Chris.
Goodnight, Chris.